can't sleep, trapped in my own mind. Anxiety. Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
That's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to We're Not Therapists,
But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone. Now, let's start the timer. Jay, how do you feel today?
Hey, Jay. How are you?
Hi.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going. Things are going. How about you? I'm using a lemon that it's on its very last life.
My contacts are so dry right now for some reason, probably because I wore them for many hours yesterday. And I thought that several many hours. I thought that was a potato.
Well, close enough. I'm making a cucumber tomato salad for my dish.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Cause I actually didn't ask you last week, but, what are you making besides banana bread?
You know, I made banana bread and now I'm at a loss. I kind of thought I was going to make something else, but, I don't know. So right now you get to hear me putzing around my kitchen in various places to find something. I thought maybe I'd just make my dinner. And then I was like, oh, my dinner's kind of already made. There's not really much work to do there.
Yeah. I was like I'll be eating dinner after this. And that's very simple. It is rotisserie chicken and leftover steamed broccoli or Brussels sprout. No, broccoli and rice.
Oh my God. So that was my lunch today, was rotisserie chicken, Brussels sprouts with a little bit of bacon and rice. And I gotta tell you, man, I know it sounds plain, but I love it. I love that lunch so much. It fills me up. I load it down with veggies. That's the bulk of what I eat. And I get full and I feel fine the rest of the day. And I don't feel guilty about eating it.
Yeah. I've been cheating. And yesterday I did a low-cal Panda Express dish that's like string bean chicken and beef and broccoli and super greens.
That sounds good.
Oh my God. For lunch, fantastic. And then today I did... because I'm close to a Chick-fil-A, I did their like grilled chicken nugs with a cup of fruit.
One of these days, Jay, I'm going to send you the data on that.
Well, that's fine. I'm actually preparing my lunch right now that I'm going to start eating so that way I can stop going somewhere.
Well, I meant for like Chick-fil-A. I don't care if you eat out anywhere.
Chick-fil-A. Oh, no, that's fine. Chick-fil-A, the only reason it really hits my list is because it's right close to work and they have the drive-through pickup thing that's really easy. So I'm like, well, this will work, but
their charitable organization donates to governments that kill gay people overseas.
Well, isn't America close enough to that?
I mean, you keep giving them money, it will be.
Well, I'm going to be sexy as hell by the time that happens. So
I'm going to look good whenever I die. Thanks to all the dollar bets for the Chick-fil-A.
I'm
going to
look fantastic when I'm dying. But so for lunches, I'm making a Greek, basically like a Greek pita box where it's going to be hummus and this salad and pita bread and chicken.
That sounds really good.
I'm kind of excited for it.
As you're saying this, I think there is something that I can do, at least while we're talking, and that is put together some of my lunches for this week. I've got all the, like, I've already made everything. I just didn't throw it into containers because of space limitations in my fridges at the moment. Right. But I think I'm clean enough now that I should be able to fit some containers in there. So
yeah, I'm just,
yeah,
I want to eat healthier without constantly going out.
Yeah. Which I get. So I'm very much like a rice, veggies, and chicken guy. I think it's like a perfect little prep lunch. And it's so easy to do if you just get your rotisserie chicken at Costco.
And that's it. Like, I just go and pick up a rotisserie chicken, and that's my dinner. But I don't want the same thing for lunch.
Ah. See, and that's...
Oh.
I could eat this meal all the time. I don't do it for dinner usually, but...
I will say that's one of my things is, so I live alone, and so I don't want to cook. I'm busy. I'm tired. Mm-hmm. And so I want meals that I come home and literally just throw together.
Yep. Hey, sir. No.
And that's why I'm choosing all these dishes. And the only reason this lunch is as quote unquote complex as it is because I needed something to make during the show.
Well, we started doing, usually my breakfast is like a banana and two hard boiled eggs. God, I sound like a gym bro. I wish I looked like one.
I mean, I'm about to sound like one too, because my breakfast is literally a slice of bread with some sort of nut butter on it and a protein shake.
It's a good breakfast. I like to do like a banana because it's good healthy carbs for the morning. And then I like doing, the hard-boiled eggs because it's protein.
I get Anyways. It. I like eggs too. Reggie, what are you chewing on?
He's a monster.
Why are you this way? Stop chewing on my tools.
Jay, you can't just ask dogs why they're that way.
Somehow this little shit manages to always find a tool. So he has a screwdriver he's chewing on. Huh. Which, this is my really nice set. That's the second one he's managed to snag somehow. And I just... He doesn't chew on things randomly, but there's something about random tools that he thinks is a toy.
He just loves them.
He does.
Yeah, luckily I don't have that issue with these dogs. What I do have a problem with him is Ricky, in his advanced age, has decided sometimes that noises are doors opening and not noise that they are. And so then he's like, hey, let me scream at that. I need to notify you that there is a door opening somewhere.
Did you know that I heard a sound?
And nobody can't not know if Ricky hears a sound. It's wild to me how loud he is. But
I got really lucky that this dog is pretty quiet.
We do not have quiet dogs, and
My shorts are falling.
I can't necessarily fault the dogs because Joe is an instigator, and I know he's going to listen to this, and you're an instigator. But you know, I'm also not completely innocent in this.
He's driving down the road right now, listening, and he's screaming at you.
Probably not. He's got a fire thing going on right now.
No, I mean whenever he listens to the episode.
Oh,
in 2 weeks.
Yeah, he will be. That's fine. Yeah. If that's all I call you out on this podcast, then we're lucky.
He comes home, slams the door, and he's like, I heard what you said about me 2 weeks ago.
I heard what you said. No, he doesn't talk to me for like a week. But he won't tell me why, and it's this. But... I have really, I know we talked about on last week's episode about the differences that we notice in ourselves after being back in the gym. Do you meal prep regularly? I guess should be my first question. Okay.
I want to, I just don't like to. I have to get back into the habit of it. for this diet that I'm on. So I think basically here shortly, I'll say yes. I mean, this is my first meal prep in a while. I used to on a regular basis, though.
So I like a good meal prep, mostly because I know, like, I always take my lunch to work with me. And so I'm always taking something anyways, but usually I used to just, like, try to figure it out on the way out in the morning. And this has just saved a lot of headspace for myself in the morning to be able to say, right, oh, like, I'm just going to grab one of these and lock out the door.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I also keep a little bit of like A1 in my fridge at work and put a little bit on it. And it just makes a huge difference. And it's like, I enjoy it. I enjoy this lunch. It's easy. I don't have to think about it when I leave. And so that has been a boon for me in this whole process as well, just to have one thing taken off my plate. Because I did not know this, but did you know that even thinking about small things like that uses the same mental energy as thinking about large things like that? Like worrying about a big thing is the same as worrying about a small thing.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Not shocked.
I finding out little things like that, like I also learned recently that willpower is an exhaustible resource.
And wow.
They did a study where they did a test on this where they had these test participants, and half of them, they set out cookies and they set out beets, not beets, radishes. And they told half of them they could have either the cookies or the radishes, and the other half they told them they could only have the radishes. But they had the cookies sitting out and available to them, they just weren't supposed to eat them.
Yeah.
They did this for, I can't remember how long, but then at some point, they then had all the same people participate in a puzzle that was unsolvable, but they didn't know that. And the people who had been confined to the radishes were 60%, like, spent 60% less time trying to solve the puzzle because they were irritated and apparently were, like, snappy with the test conductors. What's the word I want to use? Anyways, so it was just a fun little like study to say like, hey, willpower is an exhaustible resource. If you're using it on one thing, you won't have it to use on another thing.
No.
Yeah.
They could have just asked me and I would have been like, yes, exhaustible. Next.
Well, yeah, but you're not science.
Bill Nye said I was.
Bill. Damn it. He said I was made of star stuff. Anyways, I just thought it was a fun little, like, study thing. Oh, my God.
No, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense because, you know, it's kind of like me whenever I feel like I have held myself back from, I don't know, happiness in some sense. You know, okay, for example, like dieting. It's so easy to just, like, rebel on yourself.
Yeah, and that is true.
I get this willpower to be like, oh, I'm gonna diet so much. And then one day, I just, like, snap because I feel like I've been depriving myself of happiness for a bit, cutting out things that I want. And so, like, suddenly I have no willpower at all to not order some stupid fatty meal and go pick it up or walk down to Insomnia Cookies or stuff like that. It is wild. And it's wild how the drive in your body is just, it's almost like addiction. Well,
I was going to say now you're hitting on something there.
I was like, hold on. This sounds familiar.
Now, hang on. I think that's part of it is just trying to suss out. You can only, if you feel like you're depriving yourself of something, it is going to be a lot more difficult to continue doing what you're doing. It's why dieting almost never works long term, unless you have a mentality shift around it to say, hey, I'm doing this for myself and this is what I want. Not, I want to do this, but I can't, right? Because saying that you can't, like, oh, I can't have this because I'm on a diet is very different from saying, hey, I'm on a diet, so I don't want to have this because I have this other thing that I want more. And it diminishes your desire for the other thing.
Right.
And so, anyways, it's a very interesting process. Like, the power of positive thinking is a real thing. Toxic positivity is also a real thing. So don't.
Oh, my gosh. Twisted, yeah. But, I was experiencing toxic positivity for a long time.
Dude, I get so irritated with people. Just cheer up. Just stay positive. Well, maybe don't. Like, my niece is going off to college next week. Yeah, next week.
Wow.
And she texts me today. She's like, I just realized that I move out next week. And I was like, yeah, well, you live there your whole life. Like, I'm not going to tell you that, hey, everything's going to be fine. I'm going to tell you for a little while, it's going to be an adjustment. Sometimes it'll suck. Sometimes it won't.
It's going to be real weird for a minute. Yep,
you're going to cry sometimes, and that's totally okay. Like, cry it out. It's going to be really rough because you've lived in the same house for the past, like, 12, 13 years.
Yeah.
And I think it's moments like that where I'm like, I don't ever want to not tell her what the reality of the world is, because I think it is more fair to somebody, even kids, to treat them as if they are human.
Well, we have especially to stop pretending kids. We have to stop pretending that everything in life should always feel happy.
Oh God, yeah.
Because that's it's so common to be like, I don't want to feel sad, so I just have to make sure I feel happy. And I'm like, that's not how it works.
Not really how it works. I gotta tell you. If you just don't want to feel sad, so you feel happy instead, that isn't how feelings actually function.
Yeah, like, you can't just beat yourself up into happy. That's not how it works.
That's not how it works. I'm trying to even this out. Boop. There. Forget how filling Brussels sprouts are. But, wow. Yeah, so I was just like, you know, like, you're going to... It's going to be rough sometimes, but then you're going to have things that are awesome. Like, you, very much like me, hate living in a town that is populated by hypocritical Christians.
Yeah.
And you won't have to deal with that. Like, they'll still be then because it's still Oklahoma. I mean, shit. But you're going to be in a place where you'll find a lot more like-minded people.
Well, and I remember telling one of my friend's kids once, I sat there and went, yeah, and you're going to get to college, you're going to meet people, and it's going to feel so exciting. And then over time, you may realize that those people you met are not good for you. And that is also okay.
Completely fine. Completely fine.
Just because you meet people and feel a connection up front does not mean that they're always right for you, or that the connection fades over time, or... Because in college, we're all discovering ourselves in a sense. And a lot of people go routes that I don't want to go.
Yeah.
That's like okay.
People who start using meth heavily.
I wanted that path. But besides that.
Trying to convince my coworker to start doing meth because he's having trouble with his prescription ADHD medication.
Oh, well then, I mean, it's practically the same thing.
And I'm just like, hey, man, like, you might just start doing regular meth. And I was like, well, don't actually do that because getting addicted to meth is just a mess.
But it's electronic.
But... Yeah, that was the conversation that we had, and it was funny because I worry about her sometimes in the capacity of she can be a little shy, but I also know that it's only when we're around certain people, and she's not necessarily a shy person around, like, her friends and stuff.
Right.
And so just because I don't see, I have to always remind myself, just because I don't see that side of her doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
And well, and she also
pointed out that she's excited to make new friends at, like, the school events. And I was like, that is awesome.
You and I were also, I'm sure, raised to be quiet around strangers and events that we're going to.
Oh my God, yes.
And so we
Did
had
she
to
be seen, not heard.
Yeah, and so basically we had to be social chameleons.
Yep.
Where we had to just blend in, and then anything we did wrong, no matter what it was, we got in trouble for.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, yes.
And so I think that, you know, that sticks with any kid. And so we're, like me, I'm still quite introverted in new group situations. I've worked really hard to be less.
Yeah.
But when I don't know anyone coming over but like two of my friends that I'm there with, I'm quiet up front. I don't know how to handle the situation. I got to read the room because I still feel like if I act like me, I'm going to upset people. And I know that's not the case, but it's just embedded in my brain.
Yeah. Which I totally get because I often will have like conversations where I think I'm being awkward with people and I'm just like, hey, sorry, I'm socially awkward. And they're like, what? And I just realized that I've offered like this information about myself that they did not perceive.
Sorry, I'm so fucking weird, bro.
That's exactly how I feel most of the time. So I'm like saying it up front, and 97% of the time they're like, huh? But there's going to be one day where someone's like, yeah, I can tell. And it's really going to reinforce me to do that for the rest of my life.
That 3% moment, you're going to be like, oh, God, I have to change everything about myself.
I have to.
When 97% of the people are like, no, you're not weird at all. We love you.
Yeah, that's... Anyways.
Well, it's funny because one of the things I'm told is that they enjoy inviting me... Like, my friends enjoy inviting me places because I always... am the life of the party, and I chat and I make people have fun and all that stuff. And it's so funny hearing that from people because I never feel that way about myself. I genuinely feel like I am trying so hard to rein myself in, not to say something stupid, because you listen to our other show, you know how insanely stupid I can get into conversation and comments.
So
if you don't know my sarcasm, it can come off as very aggressive, and I don't want to be that way.
Yeah, and I feel like that's the other thing I always get worried about. It's the same situation. I used to sort of, I guess, try to diffuse situations by being not mean, but like funny mean is what I thought I was being, and... it just didn't always come off that way. And it caused not like me to lose friends, but it did cause like every now and again for me to have a rift in a friendship.
Yeah. And for me to get mean, like my humor mean, where I'm not intending to be, well, I'm never intending to be mean unless you can usually tell if I'm actually trying to be mean. But like, I wait for a long time and I slowly release a little bit more mean. And I always have to like, it's like Roger on American Dad.
Yeah.
And I always have to like slightly, I always have to express where I'm like, okay, the meaner I am to you, the more I consider you a close friend. Because my comedy is always like mean. But I'm like, the thing is it's not mean as in, like, belittling you or degrading you. That is not the mean I'm talking about. It is just literally spitting out a comment to laugh at. And if you're uncomfortable with it, I have to have you tell me. Because I never, ever, 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 ever want to hurt your feelings.
Well, that's like... I will say the way that I operated for a while was I would... not necessarily find people's insecurities, but maybe I would know something about them that wasn't their favorite thing, or I'd find a button to push, you know?
Oh, a power move.
And I would do that. And I look back on it and I just think like, oh my God, why were you like that?
Your parents did it though.
Well, and I think what it was, my mom for sure did it, where she would make those like sideways comments about people.
Yeah.
And
it was, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Anyways.
Well, my mom did it. Now, it made sense for my mom. She was partially disabled and she was bullied as a kid. And her theory in life was blend in. And that way you don't stand out and nobody messes with you because you blend in.
Right.
On top of that, because she was so belittled, anytime she could feel like she got power, she enjoyed it. And so as an adult, which I didn't realize this till my 30s when I was like going through therapy and all. When she finds people that she feels like they think stupidly or that they're not doing things as well as she is, she doesn't even notice what she's doing, but she's bullying them. And she'll talk down to them in a sense. And it's correcting them in a way. And she doesn't understand why people get mad at her. And for a long time, when she still says it, she's like, people just need to toughen up. I'm now that person like, why on earth am I supposed to live to your standards of how I should be able to handle situations?
That is
because the snowflakiest person about criticism.
And isn't that the truest thing is the people who are like that, the second you turn it back on them, they struggle. And they're like, why would you be so mean? I had this guy that I was friends with in high school, and we are definitely not friends anymore. because he got to be like a real, I guess I should have seen it coming. He was one of those people who like, if you didn't give him what he was wanting, then you weren't friends with him. Right. And mostly what he wanted was your energy and time.
Yeah.
And he would always like, kind of like he'd walk into a classroom and he'd like punch me on the shoulder. And I know it was one of those things where he'd be like, hey, man, but he'd always do it hard.
And yeah.
To the point that like I had asked him to stop multiple times and he just wouldn't. He thought it was so funny. And most of the time I dealt with it because I didn't really have any close friends and I was so fucking socially awkward. I didn't really feel like I could afford it. But then I made this other friend who was like, why do you let him do that? And so one day he came into the classroom and did it. And I hit him right back. You would have thought I stabbed him.
Oh my God,
he reacted. And I was just like, dude, you do this to me all the time. I don't feel bad. And he just, man, he was so just upset about it. I was like, but that was an eye-opening experience. And then we were friends-ish, not really as good of friends after that, obviously, but like through school and then after high school, we kind of stayed in touch a little bit and then things fell apart. And I tried to hang out with him like once or twice. And I was like, oh, you just keep getting worse. But it was just one of those things where it was exactly what you're talking about. When you turn it back on them and do this thing, it turns out they hate it. And that's the reason why they're doing it to you.
Yeah. So, and when I criticize the family, everyone like, oh my God, my mother gets so upset. She tells everyone what I said and blah, blah, blah. And then they all tell me that I need to apologize to her. And I'm like, I'm going to be really honest. No,
that's not going to happen. Yeah. I'm well past the point of apologizing for anything I do like that, unless I actually am in the wrong, but apologizing for the sake of apologizing, I don't do that.
If I'm in the wrong, or if I said anything that was an attack or demeaning on their personal, I don't know, thoughts or personal anything like that. If I said, I think you're stupid, I was wrong. And I am happy to apologize and be like, you know what? That was very insensitive of me. I attacked you for no reason. But if I say things like, your opinion doesn't align with your behavior,
that
your
is,
religion, your behavior doesn't align.
True.
Yeah, I was like, your behavior doesn't align with your religion that you are spouting.
Yep.
I'm not going to apologize for everywhere. That because no. that is factual to follow.
Well, and I think it's good to say that to somebody because if they aren't having their beliefs challenged like that, then they're going to keep acting in a bad way. They're never going to think about it. And yeah. it happens in these echo chambers, especially in the Midwest and the South, because those bad behaviors are everywhere. Everybody's doing them.
Everyone's just, it's just normal. Like, and then they reinforce themselves by
telling each other that they're right.
And I mean, saying that I'm so horrible, I'm a liberal, blah, 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 blah. And everyone just reinforces each other so they can hear each other, feel good. And I'm like, just to be clear, nah, that's enough for me, dog.
That's enough for me, dog. You know, just real quick, and we'll go right back to this, but we were talking about health foods, and I'm sitting here making nachos for dinner because I want them. Anyways, but yeah,
well,
I think that's...
I'm trying to figure out the dishwasher and run everything.
But I mean, you're 100% right. Like, it is considered almost bad behavior to question those sort of morality points that they have that are immutable. And this is, you know, this is my religion. This is my belief. How dare you question?
I mean, it was
even though they'll shit on everybody else's belief systems. Whenever you talk about Christianity, you have to provide, you have to be reverential to it.
And it was bad behavior to question religion as a kid. Like,
oh my
the
God,
fear
yeah.
that they instilled in you for questioning things and being like, well, I don't understand this. Why? And then basically, even religion people did it, would belittle you a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To make you not question it anymore. Because if you're going to question God, then you're obviously going to hell. And I'm like, what?
Well, and I think that's where people get mixed up is that they think that their belief systems, no matter what they, if it's happening in the church, then it's Christian.
Yeah.
And even if it is very decidedly unchristian, like the hateful shit that they talk about is very not Christian, but they all agree on it and they agree on it in church. And
so as long as we're doing it in a group setting, then it's justified.
Exactly. So now it's become biblical canon, even though it's not in the Bible, or the very opposite of it is in the Bible.
Yeah.
And so it's God. Yeah. Ugh.
Well, it's
religion, right?
I was like, religion, right? We could go further, but thankfully we've been 30 minutes.
So, yeah. You want to get into religious drama? Woo! Any more than a half
Come
hour.
Come back again. I'm sure we'll talk about it.
I'm sure we will because it gets brought up a lot. All right, listeners. Well, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
And we're out of time. Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone, and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the U.S. or Canada, or 85258 in the U.K., or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play, or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it, and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time.